I would say that he has put in time in prayer, considering what it is that he would bring forth to us tonight. And I know that it would be his desire to do the will of the Lord in bringing forth the words that the Lord's laid upon his heart. So with that said, our brother, Elder Darren Kroll.
Good evening. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just really excited. I really enjoyed the sermon this morning. It really encouraged me. It pumped me up. I know that's kind of a slang term, but it kind of describes the way I felt during it. I just wanted to shout amen, but you all might have thought I was crazy back there. I am so thankful for what's happening in this church. I'm thankful for, I see around me, many people that want to serve the Lord and want to take their part in the body of Christ. My sermon is regarding the body of Christ this evening. Sister Manon, what was that song we just sang? What was the hymn that we just sang? 208. There I have it. Glory to God on high, let heaven and earth reply. Praise ye his name. Angels his love adore. Who all our sorrows bore. Saints cry forevermore. Worthy the Lamb. Ye who surround the throne cheerfully, join in one. That's us. All of us who surround the throne and with the angels, let us join. Praising his name, ye who have felt his blood sealing your peace with God, sound through the earth abroad, worthy the Lamb. Soon must we change our place, yet we will never cease praising his name. Still shall we tribute bring, hail him, gracious King, and through all ages sing, worthy the Lamb. I want it be forever in eternity, saying, worthy the Lamb. We're going to start reading and 1 Corinthians. I got over and over this morning our goal to be out there finding the lost. One big, great big job, duty we have to do. Find the lost sheep. I heard that over and over this morning. I want to do that. I want to be shouting, worthy the Lamb, while being out there serving him by doing what he desires to do. And that's save that lost one. Remember the scripture Brother Mark read about the 99 sheep? He was more concerned with that one lost one. And then there was the example of the lady who lost the coin. She shut her doors and searched her house for that one lost coin. That's our job, to be out there. And as one body, each individual part, doing our part, many will come. There's so many people out there just looking for truth, the true gospel of Christ, the true servants of Christ, the true body of Christ. And we have the opportunity to be that for them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't know what I said earlier, but it's chapter 12. starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols. Dumb means they don't speak. Some of our forefathers worshipped dumb idols, statues that didn't speak. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. That's the way they were taught. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If you really call him Lord and you mean it, you can only be following God. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and these are different, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. There are so many things that go on in our lives that when God steps in and we let him, it changes everything. And when he operates, it's a marvelous thing. And it happens at church. It happens at home. It happens at our jobs. It happens wherever we are. And the Spirit of God leads. If we listen and obey, marvelous things happen. And we see that throughout the scriptures. We see that example, and we've seen it in our own lives when we've submitted. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That means to make you better. I want to read that again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If we allow the Spirit of God to, he will work with us. He will use us to make us that individual part of the body that he created us to be. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, same Spirit, same God, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I want to stop there and go back. One is given this by the Spirit the word of wisdom. I want you to think about that. Just think a minute, and I'm not going to name any names. But who in the body do you think has the Spirit of wisdom? Immediately, I can think of certain people who, in my marriage, they have spoken words of wisdom to me, counsel. They've even told me when I was doing something wrong. They've stopped me and said, Darren, I don't think you should do that. And they did it in love. That person to me, or those people, have that gift of the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. There are certain people in the body who have a knowledge and an understanding of the scriptures. They don't have to be a minister. So they're someone in the body of Christ who God has given this word of knowledge. You know, in the Book of Mormon, it says that God gives word to women and children. There are times that God gives my wife knowledge of things that I should do. Sometimes it's by vision. Sometimes it's in different ways. And when she's spoken those words, I knew that it came from God. and that I was to heed them. To another, faith by the same Spirit. There are certain people in the body, and when I talk about the body, I'm not just talking about the Temple Lot local. I'm talking about the East local. I'm talking about Phoenix local. I'm talking about people I've met in Honduras. I can just think of certain people who have great faith. And I thank God, and I marvel at this gift He's given them, not with envy, but thanks to God that He's given them that gift. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And I've seen that over and over in my own life. By the laying on of hands, that gift of healing. And know that God is real and He moves and works in this Church of Christ. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Over and over, I can think of certain people that have these gifts. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Another, that I know of people who have these gifts. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit. Dividing to every man severally as He will. God knows what He's doing when He gives one man a gift, one lady a gift. He knows what gift He's given you. In fact, you probably know what gift He's given you. Because somebody has probably come to you and said, I appreciate the way you or that you do this or that, or somebody's probably come to you. If not, you may know, you just may know that you have this gift. And if you don't know, ask God, what gift do I have to offer to you, to serve you with? Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We being many members come together serving Him with that gift He's given us that He willed, that He gave to us, become one body working together with Him. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews and Gentiles, black, white, brown, male, female, I'm adding those. Whether we be bond or free, whether we be an employee or an owner of our own business, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. It's not just the ministry, but it's the whole body. It's each individual member being obedient to the Spirit of God guiding us. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If somebody shall say, because I'm not an elder or a priest or a teacher, I'm not the body. No. We each have our own task, our own gift, our own responsibility. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. In other words, they who seem to be without a gift seem to be weak, seem to have no responsibility, seem to have no gift, yet are they necessary, and those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts, or our unpresentable parts, I looked that word up in Strong's, and it was almost like decorative. I'm trying to think of the word. It was to be comely means to be presentable. And uncomely would be not as presentable, not as, it almost like someone makes you uncomfortable. And I particularly like that word uncomfortable for the situation, because there may be someone in the body that kind of makes you uncomfortable. Maybe they're different than you. They don't think or talk like you do. They don't dress like you do. But yet, they are necessary. And it says, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. You know, because we're all different. And yet we probably each have someone like that in the body who we might feel uncomfortable around. Yet the word is saying here that they are necessary, that they too have their part in the body. You know, I really find this out, or I really see this when there's someone I don't know, and there's something in our activities that causes us to come together and get to know each other. And when I get to know them, it's neat to see these gifts that God has given them that I didn't know about before because I didn't know them very well. I had the MSO over to my house yesterday because they were helping someone who was in need, me and my family. And it was really hard, actually, to ask Ken at first to come help. You know, because I was thinking, oh, people are going to think, well, you should do this by yourself. You shouldn't have this. And just so neat to have people come in to your house and just do what you can't do. And wow, how people have these gifts that you don't have. And you could just, I mean, I saw a staircase go up in probably less than an hour. And this was a very difficult project because my stairs have different heights and they didn't have a standard length and then they turned and had these triangle, and so they had to put hardwood floor together rather than normal treads, and it was just amazing to see that go up. And then then the painting, you know. One put masking tape up, the other started painting, somebody else followed behind them, someone did the edges. Everybody had something they could do to get the projects done. And I was just amazed at what got done in a matter of 8, 9 hours, I don't know. But people were there working hard, and it just got done. And I don't know, maybe they didn't have so much fun, but I just had fun. Just because it was my brothers, and we were all working together. And then Lorelli made us an awesome lunch. We had steak. It was just a great time together. But I got to see certain gifts that my brothers had that I didn't know they had. And, oh, it was just such a blessing to me. Well, we have that. We have the MSO. We have choir. And in choir, if we don't sound good, Manon tells us. And so then what does she do? She says, okay, tenors, we're going to work on this. And, you know, God gives us a gift, but sometimes we have to work at our gift. And so Manon's up there, and she's directing us, and we're working through it. And then she puts us back together with the choir, the tenors, the basses, the sopranos, the altos, the piano player, the director. And when everybody has practiced their part, they've worked at it, they've been diligent, they've paid attention, when it comes together, it's beautiful. And we're going to practice this. And Manon's going to do a little different thing with us. She did it for the, I think it was the, what was that called that we did for one Wednesday night? Oh, we had a special session, a workshop. Anyway, she's going to explain. If I don't know, do you? Okay. Can we turn this?
There we go.
Excuse me.
Okay, we're going to turn to number 249, and we did this the other night. But we're going to turn to 249, and we're going to sing through, like, just this first verse. Is that good enough? Okay. How much?
All of it.
So the first verse, and I want everybody to sing the melody. So all of these wonderful harmony parts that we do and make it sound really cool, like the tenor part that goes up at the end of the first line and the bass part gets to move around on the bottom, we're not going to do that this first time through. We're just going to sing the first verse, and everybody does the melody together, okay? And this is your first note. Ready?
Thank you.
Yeah, we ended up singing a lot of the same note right at the very beginning. Kind of not real interesting. And at the end, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, eight notes, all the same note. So this time through, and Darren wants us to sing all of it, let's try it with all four parts and hear how when we work together, it all sounds really beautiful. Here's your note again.
Now the day is over, night is drawing nigh, shadows of the evening steal across the sky. Jesus, give the weary calm and sweet repose. With thy tenderest mercy, may my eyelids close.
Manon, can you direct, please? Thank you. Now, isn't that interesting? When we sang it, first verse, just soprano, it was nice. But when we sang it together as one body, it was so much more beautiful. I noted that Manon wasn't directing at first. And then I thought, you know, this would be so much better if Manon was directing. And isn't that true with the body of Christ, that when the head, being Christ, is directing and we're following him, we're watching him, we're listening to his Holy Spirit together, what a beautiful thing it is. Now, I need help. Does anybody know what verse I left off on? This is the part where we need a member of the body to speak up.
I think it's 24.
24, okay. Thank you. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You know, yesterday I was an uncomely part. I needed help. And thanks to the brothers, part of the body, people who had gifts, came together who helped someone who lacked. Lacked understanding of how to put steps together. Lacked time to get the projects done that I needed to get done. And the brothers came together, and those who were comely in certain areas, like having those gifts of marvelous abilities to put stairs together and cut tile and lay tile and paint without splattering all over the floor. Those comely parts helped this uncomely part, and I'm appreciative of that. That there should be no schism in the body. In other words, if somebody's uncomely in some area, don't look down at them, but be thankful that you're comely in that area, that you have that gift and you can help out the person that doesn't have that gift. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What do you think he's saying here? Do you think he's saying apostles are the best gifts? Covet that? I don't think so. Do you think he's saying, because he's saying firstly apostles, they're more important or better? I don't think that's what he's saying. Actually, what he's saying is the next whole chapter. That's the best gifts, and we're going to read about that. But I do want to mention on that last part that we discussed, apostles are important. So are prophets, so are teachers, so are workers of miracles, so are gifts of healing, so are tongues and the interpretation of tongues. All gifts are important. It says, covet the best gifts. And now he's going to show us a more excellent way. He says in chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, so that's one of these gifts he listed up above, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, though I have this gift and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, that's one of those gifts, that was second listed, and understand all mysteries, I have that word of knowledge, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, I have just, you know, even a mustard seed of faith that I can move mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. That gift of the pure love of Christ. You know, if you have felt His love, that you didn't deserve it, that you have known that what you've discerned is that which is promised to all sinners, death, and yet you've felt this mercy that He's given you, and you know that you were not worthy of it, that's that love. And if you have helped somebody else that didn't deserve it, if you've prayed for your enemy, if you've done good to those that didn't deserve it, because God deserves it, that's that pure love of Christ. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my... Oh, I'm going to stop at that one. Because the world confuses charity for giving all their goods to feed the poor. the charity, the pure love of Christ, is the love that you... we're going to read what it is. But it's not just the act of giving to feed the poor. It's the reason why you do it. Some people can do it to feel good, because when you do something like that, it causes you to feel good. But it's that is not charity. That's not the pure love of Christ. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. That reminds me of going back up to that uncomely member. The person who is comely. Seeking to care for that the person who is uncomely and whatever thing that is. Suffer long. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Doesn't seek its own glory. Is not puffed up, proud. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. I think that might be a temptation for a lot of us. I know it is, at least for me. When somebody does something you don't like, especially in your family, or maybe a brother in the church that is just different than you, or they say something in a way that bothers you or frustrates you, it provokes you to talk bad about them or to provokes you to anger. Charity is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Really, behind any gift you have, it can only be used to serve God if there's charity behind it. That pure love of Christ, His guidance guiding you. And if it is behind your service in that gift, it will not fail. It will only be used for His glory, to praise Him, to serve Him, to honor Him. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I want to talk a little bit about the youth forum. We had last Sunday. I am so thankful. This was just such another example of us being one body with many gifts. There were ideas, so many different ideas presented. And that's because God inspired many to speak up and they weren't hindered by fear or doubt, but they just spoke up. And I'm so thankful for that, because I think that is a perfect start to what this body is going to do. I just have this hope, in this body. I don't think we've seen the smallest part of what God has planned for us. He has so much planned for us. And it's this is a trial of our faith. If we are willing to be obedient to Him in the commandments He's given us and offer ourselves up as servants to Him, it's amazing what He will accomplish through us. I'm convinced. I was truly blessed. And I'm going to mention this again about the guys coming out to my house. This morning I saw a neighbor out and he asked me, he said, you had a bunch of guys. He was really asking me, what were those guys doing over your house yesterday? You know, because there was all this machinery out loud and they knew something was going on. And I had the opportunity to share with them, oh, they were just brothers from my church helping me out because I had a lot of projects I needed to get done. Wow. That's not normal. That was the body of Christ working as it should. That makes people wonder. You know, because most people want money for stuff like that. That hard work. That's just the tip of the iceberg. The base of the mountain of what we can accomplish. I just heard, I overheard a conversation between my wife and Brother D.A. He's already started on this interest group, so I'm sorry I didn't mean to mention your name. But because it happens all over. I'm hearing things all over. But he was thinking, we need to start up a Spanish group. People who speak Spanish, just to get together and speak Spanish. My wife got really excited about that. Just people thinking, you know, what can we do to fellowship, to be more together, to strengthen this body? I love getting together at lunch with people who rush downstairs and get their food together, and some of it's already prepared, some of it's half prepared, some of it's not prepared at all, and we're rushing to get it ready. And it's so amazing how usually everything's there. Sometimes there's way more food than we need, and sometimes there's just enough. And I've never seen it be where there wasn't enough. And each person had their part. And when it comes together, it's so delicious. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm bound to Him for life, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Each one of us have been called as a member of this body. The royal priesthood, each playing their part. I'm going to look that scripture up. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll come back to Ephesians, so hold your finger there. Okay, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Remember what we just read? You are a called people. You have a vocation, an office, career. I don't even like that. Well, yeah, a trade, a work in this body of Christ. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's who we are. We've all been called out of darkness in various degrees of sin, but we've been called out of darkness into his light. To serve him, we've been called forth to praise him with our lives. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, recognizing where our gift is, letting somebody else perform their gift and serve the body as well, and encouraging one another to serve God in the individual gift that he's given them. Walk with all lowliness in heart, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That means being patient with one another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let peace reign through it all. We're different, but we're all called for one purpose, to praise him and serve him. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, only he is the head. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who's given the commandments. I added that part. Who is above all and through all and in you all through the Spirit, his Holy Spirit. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We all need his grace at different measures. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive. We are no longer held captive if we have committed our lives to him. We're no longer held to fear or sin or doubt. And gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. These all had purpose. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. So he's talking about here the importance of the ministry. Because there is importance. Our sister Martha mentioned it the other night at the youth forum. She said, the ministry need to know the word of God. We need to preach it for this purpose, that the body is not tossed around by every... How was that put? tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, and this is all of us, speaking the truth in love, there are two parts there, by the way. The truth, speaking the truth in love. Some of us should speak and don't, and some of us speak but forget to do it in love. But we are to do both. Speak in the truth in love. When we see a brother or a sister who just aren't doing what they should be doing, or they could be doing more than they're doing, and they could be taking their part in the body, we should speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that every joint, by that which every joint supplieth. Each individual, even joint it's talking about, has its supply or its gift or its part. I just have something to mention about that. The other night I was at Brother Dan's for the choir, the children's choir practice, and we got into a conversation about skeletons. And Brother Dan says, well, what do you think about skeletons, Darren? Somebody had a skeleton shirt on. I said, well, I don't really like skeletons that much. And Dan said, you don't? Well, don't you think skeletons are important? I said, well, he said, don't, what would happen if there was no skeleton? Well, we'd be a big blob on the floor. Skeletons are important. Joints are important. Marrow is important. Each part of the body is important. You are important. I am important if we're fulfilling the gifts that God has given us. If we're listening to the Spirit of God when He speaks to us. If we're making ourselves available to Him to be in His servant service. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Stop trying to be like the world. I think about that and I think, Darren, you gotta stop certain things in your life because it takes away from the things you could be doing for the Lord. You know, sometimes we're tempted by riches. Remember the sower sowing seeds, and there was good ground, and then there were all the other bad types of ground. We've got to watch out that we're not those bad types of ground, that we receive the word and that it grows within us and that we are in His service. This I say, therefore, I'm going to walk down. I'm going to go down to verse 25. No, I'm going to just go to 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's be brothers and sisters to one another. Let's encourage each other. Be one of those people that says, you know, I really like it when you do this. That is just really neat. Be one of those kind of people that encourages your brother or sister in the gifts that God has given them. And also, be ready to use the gift that God has given you. And let's be one body with Christ as the head, doing His work. May God bless us in this.